Welcome to the Creativity Cafe for the creatively adventurous and the relentlessly curious.
We have inspiring conversations with creative women from all over the world.
I'm Paige Baldwinando, and I'm a creativity coach who helps people maximize their creative potential, and I'm also a writer.
And I'm Jordana Matsuda. I'm an illustrator on my creative journey, with Paige helping me along the way.
We're both long-term residents of Japan, a country bursting with creative energy that inspires us every day.
So go grab a cup of tea and join us in discovering new creative landscapes here on the Creativity Cafe.
Hello, Paige.
Hello, Jordana.
I want to say a big thank you to you.
For what?
For inviting me to Mother Song a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's so fun, isn't it?
Like, I was a bit worried before because as much as I love singing in my house and with my son, singing with a group of women in public, I felt like a bit nervous about. But after I saw, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram, the video of what you were doing in the first session, I felt like, okay, I can do this.
Yes.
So, introducing me to that.
Oh, my pleasure. It's such a joy. So yeah, for anyone listening who doesn't know, Mother Song is a group singing experience here in Tokyo that is run by our friend, Annie Nakahara Knight, who is a brilliant, I mean, so many words are coming to mind as I, like, she is a brilliantly musical coordinator of humans. She creates an atmosphere where you want to let the joy of music flow through you in a very natural way. And it's so supportive and loving as an environment. There isn't any feeling of stress or tension around getting it right, because she's pretty clear from the very beginning that we're not about that in this space. This space is about singing together, lifting our voices together, making music together in a way that is revitalizing and fun and energizing. And yeah, it's just pretty great. So what did you find in that experience?
Yeah, like because I am a bit of an introvert. So I was like the double worry of, one, singing in front of everybody, and two, meeting so many unknown new people.
Yeah.
But like you said, Annie is just so, she's so down to earth and open to everybody and so welcoming and warm. And the thing I really liked as we went through the session is how accessible she makes singing.
Yes.
Like, she makes you feel like, you know, just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just come as you are. There's no like expectation. And I really like the way that she explains things and sets it up. It's like a gradual build up, like, because, you know, there's people there who English isn't necessarily their first language.
Mm-hmm.
She makes it so accessible to everybody that so that they will feel comfortable and able to participate. And I think when you lose that sense of, oh, I don't know if I can do it, that's when you're able to enjoy it and get the kind of soul energy from that kind of group singing.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, logistically, the logistics are not a problem. She makes it so easy to get a toehold, you know, like to figure out, like, okay, where do I want to be? How do I want to sing this? Like, which, you know, level do I want to be on in terms of like the pitch of my voice or whatever? I'm not a musical person. I don't even know the vocabulary.
me either.
So, but that, I think, just goes to show how accessible it is, that you don't have to know any of that, right? Like, you can just jump in and kind of ride the wave of the experience, because the logistics are not important and they're not a barrier. And then there really is also this sense of emotional safety, where it's like, you know, so clear that it just doesn't matter. Nothing matters but the connection and the enjoyment of the experience.
Yeah.
And really, I find it to be a lot of the pieces that we work on together, that we sing together, are so moving emotionally. Yeah. because of the rhythm, the melody, the words, and the ways they come together. I think she also has a real genius for choosing the pieces that we work on together. And I think the last session we went to together, we worked on a couple of different things, and they were both just so beautiful. And one of them had the theme of home, right? And I think for all of us who live far from where we grew up, there is inherently a bit of emotion bound up in that theme, you know, because it is, it's even a question, right? Where is home? Like, is it here? Is it there? Is it both? Is it, you know, all of that? We get to explore that sort of thing together in a way that just feels supported. And also, there's an awareness, right, that we're in this together in that way.
And I think like what I really loved as well is because it is very repetitive. Like she teaches us the song and we say it over again, and like my different groups have different kind of pitches and what have you. But that repetition, one, it gets you feeling comfortable with the song. And two, it also becomes almost like a meditation. And then through that, like the words hit in a different way. Like you find a different meaning, or it just makes you think about things on a deeper level. And I think that's where it can be, you know, it can be quite emotional, moving time. Either like you said, it makes you think about what home is to you, or another one she did was I felt like was really empowering and like made me believe in myself a bit more, have confidence in myself. So I really loved that element of it, like the steps of learning the words, the repetition of the words, and then this that hitting your soul on a different level from the when you first start singing it compared to, you know, towards the end when you really understand what you're singing. Yeah, I really love that process.
Yeah, because it really is as you're steeped in it, right? You just keep like the words become part of your experience in a deeper and deeper way as you repeat. She calls it melodic mantra,
That's
right?
what it could. Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
just love that turn of phrase also because it's so it makes it so clear. You just get a sense right there of what it is and how it is in that way, like you are repeating something that kind of sinks itself into your bones as you are with it, you know, as you have that experience. And then the additional experience of doing that with other women from around the world, you know, who have bring their own experience and their own life story and their own, you know, emotional world to the room. And even if you have no idea what their backstory is, you don't know. There is a feeling of we are here together and we're doing this together. It's just so beautiful.
There is the unspoken support, isn't there?
So we actually have a little clip to share of us singing with Annie and the group from, I think this was recorded in December of 2022. And it's a beautiful little piece that we'll share with you, after which we will slide right into our interview with Annie.
I said a deep, deep, I said a down, down, I said a deep down in my soul. I know that one day I'll be free. I said a deep down in my soul. I know that one day I'll be free.
Keep going.
Down, 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 down.
hear our conversation with Annie. But before we do, I just want to let you know to hang around at the end of the interview too, because we are introducing a new segment called Ask Me Anything, where we read questions from you guys that you have written in to ask us and we answer them. So stick around at the end and give it a listen.
From Scotland to England to France to Japan, Annie Nakahara Knight has brought her love of music making along with her every step of the way. Passionate about sharing music with everyone, regardless of their background or training, Annie has led various groups and classes in strengthening connection through making music. As a teacher of Music Together classes for young families and the leader of Mother Song, a Tokyo-based group for women to sing together, Annie uses her skills to bring forth the vocal creativity of all the people she works with. Welcome to the podcast, Annie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yay. Yes, thank you. Excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, me too.
So we always ask each guest the same first question. So can you tell us, what is your first memory of doing something creative?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's very difficult to isolate what would be the very first memory. But I have a lot of strong memories of me and one of my sisters. Her name is Jessica. Hi, Jess, if you're listening. We would always make up our own songs, and they could be about really silly things. One strong memory is making a song up about a weasel. It was called Stop That Man, He Killed the Weasel.
Oh wow.
Drama.
It was, yeah, very dramatic. So that's one particular one that sort of sticks in my head. But playing around with music, making up little ditties. When I was a bit older, I used to make my own sort of, I guess, an early podcast. I guess it would with the sort of cassette recorder, press record and make, you know, a little radio show. Lots of things, not just with music or with singing, but, you know, we would have a lot of things at home to craft with, making, you know, decorations or, you know, painting. Make flower decorations. We were, you know, really lucky to have a big garden full of, you know, lovely plants. So making things with stuff from the garden, lots of different kinds of creative things, I guess. Dancing. I did ballet from like 3 years old. So, you know, making our own little dances. And a lot of different kinds of, creativity, I guess.
Yeah. Was your family quite musical? I have the impression that maybe they were.
It was a very musical, there was always music in the house. Mm-hmm. I think the word musical has a lot of, it's quite loaded because... Yeah, a lot of people think of themselves as not musical, whereas I believe everybody is musical.
Yes.
It's a difficult, but we certainly had a lot of music going on in the household in a very casual way. So my mum loved singing. She was in the church choir. She used to play piano, but very rarely had time to play piano. My dad also loved singing, and he played the guitar for fun. And I have three older sisters. The oldest one, when she was at high school, she was an excellent tuba player, and she was in the brass band at school. The next sister was a really good cornet player, and so she was also a member of the brass band. And the third sister, who's closest in age to me, she played a variety of instruments, and we did a lot of music together. We had singing classes together. She played the cello, and I as I was growing up, I played baroque recorder, so we would have little like chamber music sessions with
cute.
Yeah, so we used to have a when we were really lucky, we used to go to a friend's house who had a harpsichord, and so we would have harpsichord, the cello, and the recorder, and it was so fun. And that was when I was a bit older, but yeah, so the always music on in the house as well. My mum and dad had quite broad musical tastes. You know, from classical to jazz. My dad was a big jazz fan. So always music going on in the house. People, you know, would be going around the house, humming tunes, singing songs, then practicing, you know, whatever instrument they were playing. So it was a very... And music was a part of daily life, and nobody was professional, you know, nobody was a musical prodigy or a virtuoso. It was just part of what we did, part of daily life, really. So I guess it was a musical household with the inverted commas there.
It sounds like it was a way of connecting and having fun.
Yes,
which does sound like it's still very much your jam in terms of how you relate to music now.
Oh gosh, sorry, there's a big thing going past my window. Hope it's not being too noisy. Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, if I talk a little bit about my background, sort of with formal music education, I went to study music at university. And at that point, I think... making music became something that was not enjoyable for me, actually, because I was constantly comparing myself to people who were virtuosos, people who were, you know, exceptionally talented, and put in so much work, of course, as well, that actually I began to question whether I should make music because I wasn't as good as this person or that person. And so for a long time, I stopped making music or had lost the joy of making music because of these of this pressure and wondering whether I was good enough. And I think I really found my love for music again when I had my daughter. And I felt this sort of real need to sing to her. It was like almost like a physical need to sing to her. And of course, I would sing lullabies to her and, you know, sing throughout the day. And I discovered this music program for young children and their caregivers, which you said in your introduction, Music Together, which is a fantastic music program. And I took my daughter to these classes and it just, you know, it was fantastic. It reawakened my passion for music and making music for fun without the pressure, without the expectations, you know, making music for the sake of making music. That was a big shift for me after all those years of feeling self-conscious, wondering whether, you know, I was good enough. And I think that's partly why now I'm really passionate about singing with other people and maybe people who are also very self-conscious about their singing voice. You know, maybe people who've been told that they should mouth the words to the song in the school choir, which I heard a lot. A lot of the mothers who came to my music classes, well, a lot, let me at least three had told me that they had been told to mouth the words in their like a junior high school choir or high school choir, and that had really affected them. You know, they had become so self-conscious that they didn't want to sing at all, and I mean that's heartbreaking, you know. And we've had people join my latest project who have had similar experiences, who've been told that they can't sing, that they're tone deaf, but they want to sing and they want to sing in a group. So we welcome them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just heartbreaking, isn't it? Like that shutting down of the way we just want to express ourselves naturally, whether we are skilled or not in that, you know, in that particular moment, whether like whatever skilled even means, right? Like to have that expression and the voice shut down and silenced is a kind of trauma, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Goes to show how important it is to have like teachers who, you know, embrace everybody and inspire everybody to, you know, no matter what your ability is, just to try and have fun with it.
Right.
You know, the teachers that you have, and you really do, you know, influence the rest of your life sometimes, hey?
Yes.
For better or worse.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when I hear about the choir leaders or the music teachers telling people not to sing, you know, it's
so
heartbreaking.
Sad.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
And then the people who've been told that they can't sing and they shouldn't sing, then they don't, if they have children, they won't sing to them, you know, because they've got that trauma. And then I guess, you know, the child will grow up without someone singing to them and, you know, so it can have a huge impact, you know, so a flippant comment like that from a teacher can have a huge impact.
It really can. Yeah. Actually, my father, he was in glee club in high school, but he was told not to make any noise. You know, he was told he didn't have a good voice and that he should just mouth the words. And I remember being in the back of the car. So I grew up in the outskirts of New York City, where we spent a lot of time in the car. And most of my exposure to music was in the car. And I would sing along with like the Beatles songs or whatever on the radio. And I remember him turning down the radio so he could listen to me singing.
Aww.
And I asked him, like, "What? Sing with me. Why don't you sing with me?" And he couldn't. He didn't want to. He was hurt, you know, from this thing that had happened 30 years earlier.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
It sticks with you.
It really does.
There does seem to be something vulnerable about singing, isn't there? Even, like, no one ever told me I was good or bad or what have you. But there is something about opening your mouth and singing.
Yes.
Where there is some kind of, like, vulnerability there. It's like, should I? Or should, like, you know.
Right.
So, you know, if you've had that negative comment towards you, then it must be just like you can't physically move your mouth to sing, probably.
Right.
I'd
There's
imagine.
Fear.
Yeah, fear.
There's fear.
Yeah, fear.
And that fear is so, like, the fear that's connected to our voice. If we think about, like, how often, especially in childhood, we're told to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and our voice is kind of shut down because it's inconvenient, because the adults around us just can't handle it right then, or whatever is happening, we kind of fall into this this conditioned pattern of not using our voice when we would like to. And then it becomes something that it feels vulnerable because we have been criticized for it.
Right. And to pick up on what Jordana said as well, you know, we can feel very vulnerable sharing our voice. I took a wonderful course with a lady called Alison Davies, who's based in Australia. Mm-hmm. And she described our voice as unique. And basically, it's our fingerprint, but in sound form.
Yes.
So our voice is truly part of us and showing who we are. So I think that's why it can feel so vulnerable sharing your voice. But there's also so much power. You know, there's so much power in your voice. You know, whatever it is. So that's why I love sharing this with people and encouraging people to find their voice and to use their voice and to enjoy being creative with their voice.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me, like, recently, like, because out in our house we're always singing. My son loves any kind of music. And he
Fantastic.
had some like and he like really put his heart and soul into his
Yeah.
whatever.
Oh.
Recently he had like some issues at school, and like I heard him, like he was sat doing on the sofa doing something, and he was just like singing. He'd made up this song about like how, you know, he's strong and he can get through this,
Oh,
and
yeah.
it'll, and he, I was just, I was almost crying. I was like,
Oh,
you know, he's
wow.
using though, you know, his internal thoughts
Yeah.
and he's channeling it into a song, and it
Yeah.
was just so calm but also powerful. I was like, you go, boy, you go.
Yes. Oh, my. Do
Yes,
you know, it
yeah.
sounds like he was making his own little melodic mantra there.
Yes, it was actually. It completely was, you know, and it really was.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, I love that. I love it. I love hearing things like that. That just, brings me so much joy to hear that because singing can really help people. When we sing, we release happy hormones into our brain. It can, relieve anxiety, in addition to all the sort of other physical benefits, like, improving your lung capacity, memory, remembering lyrics and things like that can help with your memory. But the act of singing is physically and mentally good for you. And actually singing in a group, the feelings of being connected are strengthened through singing. And there are some studies that show, in group singing, the participants' heartbeat can even sync,
Oh, wow.
which is really amazing.
Yeah.
It's to do with, I guess it's to do with the phrasing of the music and, taking breaths in similar places. But
Right.
also that shared experience is such a wonderful bonding activity. And that's what we do in Mother Song, to which you've both participated in wonderfully.
Yeah, so that brings us to our next question, which is about a project that's currently lighting you up. Would you say that it is Mother Song for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So Mother Song is a recent community project that myself and Stephanie Kawai, who's a wonderful friend, we started up last year. Through my work with Music Together and through Stephanie's work as a birth doula and she does lots of amazing things, but she does a lot of work as a birth doula. We both had experienced, or witnessed, I should say, women being isolated, women feeling isolated, especially, during the pandemic. Most of the families that we work with are not Japanese. They're living here either temporarily or they've moved here and may not have, a network of people to support them and will be far from, loved ones. So especially during the pandemic, people were struggling with their mental health, feeling isolated and not being able to connect with each other. So Stephanie and I have been singing together for years, actually, just with our friends and our local community. But we decided to start Mother Song up to support women in the community who might be feeling isolated, who might want to make a connection with other people who may be in a similar position. But actually, we've got such a variety of people coming to Mother Song, which is lovely. It's a good what's the word? Lots of different kinds of people coming to our group. But people who want to come together in song, explore their voice, and bask in the lovely sounds that we make. And I have to say, all of the sounds that we make are beautiful. We
Yes.
are not a choir, like a formal choir, and sometimes I describe us as an anti-choir because we don't audition. We don't require that you be able to read music. as I mentioned before, you know, some people may have even been told they weren't allowed to join a choir before. So, but we don't care. We believe everybody has a beautiful voice. Everybody has a unique voice. And we're just going to bask in the sounds that we make together and enjoy singing. So that's what Mother Song is. We usually start off with some sound games. I don't know if you remember doing our sound games in the circle.
Yes, I love them.
So, you know, people do feel vulnerable at first, I guess. You know, some people are going to be a little bit nervous to sing, perhaps with people that they've, you know, if they're coming for the first time, they might not know anybody else in the group. But we try to put people at ease by starting off with some simple sound games. And one of them is we stand in a circle and somebody starts off making a completely random sound. It could even be, you know, like an animal voice, could be, you know, stomping of the foot. And we go around one by one, adding a new sound. So if we have 19 people in the group, by the time we get round to the circle, to the end of the circle, we have 19 sounds layered on top of each other. And oh my goodness, we've made some absolutely amazing soundscapes. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fun way and an accessible way for people to be creative with their voice. So yeah, we usually start off with some sound games. We will often do a melodic mantra, which maybe we'll talk a little bit more about. And then we learn maybe one or two short songs in simple harmony. And for some people, it's maybe the first time for them to sing in harmony with others. And it, that can be really quite powerful. It can open up, you know, some emotions. You know, for me, I sing in harmony a lot in different situations. And so, sometimes with a big group, I'm overwhelmed and I will tear up. You know, I think the first mother song session that we had, I was pretty teary, actually, just because it was just so beautiful to have these voices come together. And yeah.
No, it is. It's a really powerful thing, isn't it? When everybody's singing in a group.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, it's like that. It's, you know, it's, yeah, the, like the vibration of it as well. You know, we're making these vibrations together, just creating these wonderful, wonderful sounds. Yeah. Then the melodic mantra, we usually choose something very short, and it's something, you know, maybe something positive that we want to say. Oh, I think the last one we did, what was the one that we did? It was I'm free to be me. Yes, I am. It was a really short sentence. I'm free to be me. Yes, I am. And we put it to a simple melody and just sang it over and over again. And usually with the melodic mantras, we do them for about 3 minutes. Just the something short and simple over and over again. And the reason we do that is, you know, at first we're learning the words and the getting used to the melody. So for the first minute, usually people's brains are thinking, oh, what's coming next? Is that the right? Are those the right words? Is that the right note? Oh, you're still a little bit unsure of where you're going. But by, you know, by the second minute, your brain is getting really comfortable with the lyrics and the melody, and it's beginning to sink in. And by the third minute, your brain is totally feeling safe. It knows the words, it knows the melody. You're beginning to internalize the meaning of the words as well, and able to really enjoy the process of singing it. And you're, yeah, by that time your brain knows it and can relax. So that's the sort of basic outline of the melodic mantra.
And they really are so beautiful. There's something so soothing about the repetition of not just the words, although there is that, but the sounds together. And then, you know, all of that, it's very soothing, and it kind of sinks into the fabric of you as you're doing it, you know?
Very soothing and calming. And I've mentioned in a couple of our sessions that these melodic mantras help you obviously when you're singing, and they're soothing when you're physically singing them. But actually, if you're in a situation where you're feeling anxious, or you're feeling anxious or upset, and you can't sing, if you think the melodic mantra in your head, it can have a similar effect just by thinking the music. So that might sound a bit random, but so for example, I used to get really anxious on the Tokyo trains. I used to have an awful commute going into central Tokyo, you know, in the height of rush hour, and I used to get really anxious. So if you were in that situation on a crowded train and you're beginning to, you know, notice the signs of anxiety or even, you know, panic, if you think the music of a melodic mantra in your head, it can have the same effect as singing it. So it will soothe and calm you. And it will, this, you know, as we sing it in that third minute, we begin to relax and our brain goes to a place of safety. The same if you're thinking it, your brain will go to a place of safety. So it can really be effective in helping manage, you know, symptoms of anxiety. So I think I've said in the sessions, you know, if you find yourself in a situation like that and you can't sing, please think of these melodic mantras in your head. And I hope it will, you know, help you take your brain to a place of safety.
Yeah, it's amazing how powerful the imagination is in that way, where it can do. It's like I also went to music together classes for 6 years with my children, and one of the concepts that I learned about there was audiation, which is where we are, you know, basically hearing the music in our mind,
right?
You know, which I had never heard of that concept before, and that's what you're describing, right? Is that weird?
So you're audiating the mantra in your head, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even through that, we don't even actually have to use the voice to feel the power of the music, which is incredible, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's the magic of music and the, you know, in the brain. It's very cool. You know, and I think these are things that, you know, we can teach to our children, you know, we can share these ideas with them as children, you know. There's all these things, you know, like stress balls and things like that, you know, and you give children to like squeeze like those, you know, really squidgy balls and,
yeah,
you know, things that I've seen, you know, ideas to help kids calm down where you, you know, fill up a jar with water and glitter and you shake the glitter and when they're feeling anxious or frustrated, and then they watch the glitter drop to the bottom of the liquid and that helps them calm down. These are all great things, but we can also teach them, you know, let's you know, think of a calm song. We could sing it or just think it, you know. I think these are really good things to teach our children, you know, life coping skills, I guess.
Yeah, and, totally. Like,
yeah.
And especially because, as we talked about earlier, you know, sometimes the external world, what we receive in school or wherever, it kind of does the opposite training, doesn't it? Of like shutting us down. But, you know, if we can teach our children ways to, you know, go in and do things for themselves, it liberates them in ways that we maybe didn't have given to us at that age.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So Annie,
yeah.
I know you've done like two kind of community-based lessons, so both Music Together and Mother Song.
Yes.
You seem to be drawn towards making music in a community. So, like for you, what's the impact or importance of making music in this kind of group setting?
I think, just really sharing with people that everybody is musical, like we chatted a little bit at the beginning, really encouraging people to get in touch with their musical side and not be self-conscious. And I really believe that everybody can enjoy the benefits of making music. And it's almost like nowadays, we see so many perfect things, right? We hear so many, and I've got my hands doing in the inverted commas here, like the perfect vocal, the perfect this, that, the other. And it can put people off, but we don't stop, doing a kick around with a ball with our kid because we're not a world famous, soccer player.
Yes.
So
Yep.
why do we put such pressure on ourselves? Why do we stop ourselves from singing? Because we're not this, top-notch vocalist. So really the benefits of singing and making music are so great that I just, I don't know, I just want to encourage people to let go and just to join in and feel the joy. Simple, just feel the joy of it.
It really is so joyful. And I think too, like what you guys have both touched on in this conversation is how, and what we've all experienced in Mother Song together is what a bonding experience it is to like lift voices together and to make something musically together. It creates this relationship, even if you don't even speak to the other people or have a conversation with them. You are connected with them and bonded to them in a way that is unique and powerful.
And exactly, and we our language of communication in Mother Song is English, but actually we have many people who don't have English as their native language. We have many different nationalities, so the I guess the language of communication really is through the music, and feeling that close bond through making these sounds together, even though you might not share a language, a language with them. That's yeah, exactly right.
It really is a beautifully diverse group, and it's really wonderful to have that feeling of, yeah, we are connecting. It's not about the words, right? It's more about this experience of doing this together and creating sound texture together and having fun and seeing where we mess up and like, it was okay, that's no big deal. Start again anyway,
When
you
I
know?
mess up, I frequently mess up. I frequently mess up. I'm like, yeah, it's just, and another thing I really love about Mother Song is that if you want to come with your kids, you come with your kids. A lot of places who that do singing, or that you can't take your child, or it's restrictive. But we are really open if you want to bring your children. In fact, we've had and well, gosh, our youngest participant, gosh, was a not even 2 months old. And then we had a little toddler who was, sort of almost sort of singing along with us. And it's a very relaxed atmosphere, so that you can feel confident that you can come along with your child. And if they have a little whinge, that's fine. If they're walking around, toddling around, that's okay. It's a welcoming space, not strict at all.
And that's the ethos of music together too, isn't it? As in,
Absolutely,
part of what I loved about it when my own children, so we started when my son was 3 months old with
Oh
music
gosh, yeah.
together, and then my daughter was along the whole time. She was in my belly, and she was there from her conception onward until she was five.
Wow.
And part of what is so wonderful about it is the freedom that you feel in that space where you're not going to be criticized for what your children are doing, and you're not going to be criticized
like for what you're doing as a vocal, what you're doing vocally or musically, anything is okay. Anything is allowed. Anything is welcome because we're here together in this community. And I think you have brought that into an adult space with Mother Song, where there is this lovely acceptance and enjoyment and like lack of judgment in the environment.
Thank you so much for saying that, Paige. I'm really glad you have described it that way, because that's exactly what we are hoping to do, and hoping to create for people. So thank you for describing it that way.
It's just wonderful. I love it so much. Jordana and I have had a lot of
Yeah.
fun in
Yes.
Mother Song.
No,
Oh,
it
good.
is really a wonderful experience because, I wouldn't, I'd never say I'm a confident singer. I was a bit apprehensive. But Paige went to the first one and she was telling me about it afterwards. And I was like, okay, I think I can do it. And I think there is like, going back to a bit what you were saying before, like having that group sense of vulnerability. Maybe some people feel a bit nervous, maybe some people don't. Well, you never know how other people are feeling about singing their hearts out in a new space. But there is no sense of a judgment at all. And that group sense of like vulnerability makes it even more powerful for me anyway.
Thank you. I'm really glad that both of you have come and been, just so wonderful, and that I'm really glad you're both describing it like this, because it's exactly what we want to create, a really safe space for people to come and be themselves, to share their voice, whatever their voice is, that they're all beautiful to us. And also, just to take a time to breathe as well. At the end of our session, Stephanie also, as you know, leads us in some breath work, and that's really informed a lot. Oh, she does a lot of breath work for birth, as I mentioned, she's a birth doula. But also that breath work, it's just really time to pause and really, this, I don't know, this sort of airy fairy language, but the connect with yourself, and
Yes.
and so I hope, and I think it makes a nice balance for the session to end with that breath work at the end. And it's so funny, because after the sessions, I always feel this sort of mix of joy, but also as a it's a, there's a release. I feel there's a certain sort of release there. I get so much out of it myself.
Absolutely, yeah. It's cathartic.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a catharsis in it. And then, I'm also, like you were saying, Jordana, we have a very like we love to sing in our home, and especially love to make up really goofy songs about dumb stuff that's happening or something our pet is doing. Like this is something that's always been part of our family culture as a way to like just have fun and connect with each other. But I will say that like after having gone to Mother Song, now it's been, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. Part of what I've experienced is like I feel much freer and looser in my voice than I did before, because I think in that context, like in my home, I'm not really belting things out, like it's kind of a little more subdued, and I'm, I don't want to bother the neighbors, you know what I mean? Like, but in Mother Song, I do feel that I can just go to that deep place and let it out, whatever it is, and it feels welcome, and it feels like that's what we're doing here, right? And it loosens something in you when you can do that.
Oh, I love this page. You talk about it so much better than I do. It's so funny, because I love singing, and I feel comfortable singing, but sometimes when I talk, I don't feel I find it difficult to talk. I sometimes find it very difficult to talk in front of a group of people, whereas I'd probably be more at ease to sing in front of them. So it's really interesting, isn't it? It's
yes.
really interesting. But you, yeah, I love the way you're describing your experience of this, and yeah, really, really thrilled.
Feel free to use it to share with people. So I'm curious, Annie, what you do, like what you were just saying kind of brings me into this question, but like when you are in a place where you're feeling a little bit, you know, blocked creatively, or there's some kind of obstacle for you, or it feels like, I want to do this thing, but I'm just kind of not able to get there. Like, what is something that you do to shake that loose for yourself?
Right. I think there's different levels of this kind of block. And I think sometimes just accepting it's not the right time and taking a break can work wonders. But when it's because of procrastination or something like that, I actually recently have been doing something I learned from you, Paige, which is just do a little.
Mm-hmm.
Just do something and tell yourself, you know, if it's not going to work out, I'll figure it out, you know, I'll start and see what happens. So like these little steps, so maybe even just the challenge of, okay, just for 2 minutes I'm gonna try something. And you know, you'll sit down, you know, sometimes at the piano I'll sit down, or with a piece of blank paper if I'm trying to think of some ideas, and just see what happens in those 2 minutes. And then sometimes I'll realize, oh, actually I've been here for 30 now. Oh, look. I thank you, Paige, for helping me use that technique to get, you know, things going.
It's almost magical, isn't it?
Yeah.
It works.
And
you
I
think
also,
it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then it
and then it does.
And that's why it does.
You're sort of tricking yourself into doing it.
Yeah.
And and I also I think I mentioned this to you, Paige, but I've also used this with my daughter. I'm like, well, she's like, oh, I don't feel like doing X, Y, and Z, or I can't, or I'm stuck with X, Y, and Z. I'm like, well, just go and see for like 2 minutes, see what happens. And she will also find that she's, you know, 30 minutes or whatever down the line, she's like, oh, look how much I did, or, you know, so it's, I think that's a really useful way to get over those kind of blocks. But yeah, as I mentioned as well, if it's a more sort of serious block and it's just not the right time, I will just, yeah, leave it. Mm-hmm. and you know, sleep, or much longer period of time, come back to something, and see what happens. But yeah, I guess that's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful. And I think all of that is, you know, so helpful to people, you know, listening, because I think when we hear what other people do in these kinds of situations, it can really help us to, you know, feel into, will that help me? Could I try that? You know, it's really valuable to hear what other people do to move around this sort of thing. Yeah.
Right.
So before we wrap up, I wonder if you would be interested in leading us in an example of a melodic mantra.
Yeah. Well, yes, that would be great. And your listeners can join in at home.
Yes.
So how about we do, it's a little bit of a longer one, but it works really well as a call and response. But because of the sort of technology we're on, we won't be able to do the call and response live on this call, in this chat. But listeners at home who are listening to this can sing with me. So I'll sing a phrase, and the listeners at home, if they want to, if they feel like it, no pressure, they can repeat the phrase that I have just sung and join in the melodic mantra. So I'll sing a phrase at home. You listen and sing it back. We'll do that once, and then I'll sing the whole mantra a few times. I won't do the whole 3 minutes, but I'll sing it a few times, and people can join in at home.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yep. I've been talking a lot. Hopefully I'm all nicely warmed up. So I'll just start. Here we go. In this circle, no fear. Oh. So let me just stop there, because we sing in this circle because we're usually standing in a circle.
Mm.
But as listeners are listening at home, how about we change the words a little bit and sing in this body?
Mm, I love
think
that.
This is going to work. Okay. That's going to work well.
Yes. Beautiful.
So, yeah. here we go. In this body, no fear. In this body, safety. In this body, greatest happiness. In this body, deep peace. Let's sing together at home if you can. In this body, no fear. In this body, safety. In this body, greatest happiness. In this body, deep peace. In this body, no fear. In this body, safety. In this body, greatest happiness. In this body, deep peace.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Annie. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I hope, you know, if the listeners weren't singing along that time, maybe they'll come back to it and listen to and sing along at another time. And this is a really good one. Like I was saying, if you're feeling anxious, you can even sing this in your head. It's I love the sentiment in this song, in that mantra.
It's beautiful. And you feel it as you, even as I listened, you know, I started to settle into a peaceful feeling in my body.
Yeah.
Did you feel that, Jordana?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was singing in my head.
Me too.
Along.
Oh, beautiful.
It just calms you down, doesn't it? It just calms you down. And yeah.
And another thing that I just want to say is that, you know, you always, your body is your instrument, right? With your voice, you can take it anywhere and you take it everywhere. You know, this is another wonderful thing about the voice. You don't need anything. You don't need anything. You just need yourself, your body, and it's always there and you can always access it, you know? So that's another reason why I absolutely love to share singing, to show that people have this instrument within them.
Yeah. And it's another reason it's so powerful to reclaim it, because it's ours and ours alone. Like you were saying earlier, where it's our fingerprint in a way, it's unique to us and no one else can use it if we don't.
Right.
It's ours.
Right.
So if people wanted to find out more about you online, where can they go to find out about Mother Song or any other work you're doing?
Mother Song, at the moment, we are on Facebook and Instagram. So just Mother Song, Yeah, just on Facebook, it's just Mother Song. On Instagram, I think it's Mother Song Japan. I'm not 100% sure. I will check that. We have not got a website yet, but we will be creating one for Music Together, which is the family music making program. I have a website at albamusictogether.com. But there are many, I guess your listeners are listening from lots of different places. But Music Together, this music program for families, is actually worldwide. There are many centers offering this fantastic program. So you can check out the general website, which is musictogether.com. Yeah, probably social media is the best way to contact if you want to send a message about Mother Song. You can find out my email there as well.
Okay, I'll put all the information in the show notes as well. So if anybody wants to go and have a look there, they can click straight through.
Fantastic.
That'd be easy as well.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk about it.
Thank you, Annie. Thank it's you. Just such a joy to have you with us. Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now it's time for our Ask Me Anything section. So in this section, we take questions from our listeners, and they've written in to us with questions about their creative practice. So Paige, can you tell us who is today's question from?
Yeah, this is exciting. I think this is so fun.
I know.
Okay, so today's question is from JR, who's in the United States. And this person has written to say, "Hey, Jordana and Paige, thanks for the chance to ask a question. I'm not sure if this is the kind of question you had in mind. And as someone who doesn't consider themselves an artist, I feel a little funny asking one at all, but here goes. For years, I didn't do much that I'd consider artsy at all, but recently I fell in love with making mosaics and small sculptural pieces. I really love doing it, but it's not easy to keep up with because I've got a pretty full schedule and lots of other things competing for my attention. What do you recommend for someone who wants to do more, but can't always find much time? Thanks for the podcast. I think it's great and love listening to you guys." Oh, thank you. Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And I think it's such a common one. Like,
I think so. Hey.
Yeah. So many people experience this. Oh, like, the desire to do more and the feeling of like, but I just can't, like, I don't have the time, you know? Have you ever felt that?
Yes. Yeah. I think especially when I first started to get back into my artwork, it was really hard to look at my daily schedule and think, or my weekly schedule and think, where can I fit it in? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually ended up being in the evening once my son was asleep. That's how I started off.
Right.
And for me, it was just a gradual process of just trying to make time, like I just like block out time, because in the evening I was just too tired and my creative energy doesn't really flow then. So I just ended up, I think, setting aside like some time in the morning. And then obviously your creativity, co-creation time, is a really good way for me as well, to have that 1 hour focus time to get something started. And starting small, I think, not making necessarily a big chunk of time. For me, it was like, okay, let me just like 20 minutes and see what happens.
Totally. Yeah. Because I think when we try to go for a big chunk of time, what ends up happening is we get overwhelmed. And so we don't do anything, you know, like if we think I need to have 3 hours or like,
yeah,
even have an hour, like sometimes we don't have it. We just don't. You know, and so I love what you're saying about like making these small little goals, small increments. And what I have noticed so much of with my own creative work and absolutely with my clients is that when we do start really small, like so small that you cannot fail, right? Like you and I have done this together in our coaching work together, where it's like, what is the smallest possible thing that you could do? That you're definitely going to do, because not doing it is almost silly.
Yeah.
Right. So for the example of a mosaic, like what if you're like, I have 1 minute, so I'm going to go to the room where I'm making the mosaics and just like put aside 3 red pieces or like whatever I can do in 1 minute, you know, like what can I do in 1 minute? And it doesn't have to be any more than that. As soon as I've done that, I give myself credit and it feels really good. There's a win.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Just even doing that, like 1 minute a day, like if you prepare your stuff, then maybe like by, you know, Friday morning or Friday afternoon, you've got everything set up. So you feel ready. Okay. I can do 5 minutes little something because everything's there for me already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the barrier to it has been removed, right?
Yes.
Also because your brain has received the evidence that like, this doesn't have to be a big deal, actually. You know, I can do just a little bit and it's great. And it feels like a win because I did what I said I was going to do. And that creates like a really positive feedback loop in your mind when you learn to trust yourself because you did what you said you were going to do. And what you have said you were going to do is so small that you can totally do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's where you realize how much you can do in a certain amount of time. Sometimes you feel like there's no way I can do anything in just 15 minutes.
Yes.
But you know, if you've done that little bit of prep the day before, then you can sometimes, you know, get more done than you realize. So
totally. It
gives you that sense.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love, my favorite part about what happens through doing this is that you start to feel just the joy of doing it. And that itself becomes motivating.
Yes.
It's no longer this like chore, right? It's joyful. You remember how joyful it is. Just getting in there and looking at the mosaic pieces, like the little glass pieces or whatever, makes you like happy and excited, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And
come to it with that instead of coming to it with what so often happens for us when we have a packed schedule is this feeling of obligation.
Mm.
And no one wants to do that. There is no fun in that. When we can reignite the fun in any way, we are serving our creative practice, you know?
Yeah. You're more inclined to make that time, aren't you, when you know that it's going to be a joyful, you know, experience for that, you know, 20 minutes or however long.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think another good thing as well is if you have the space is leaving your materials out, like have a designated area where you don't have to tidy things away in each time. I think that makes it much easier to dip in and out of the project as well.
Totally. Yeah. Because that's also, and even just the visual reminder of like, oh yeah, I want to do that.
You
know, like, feels really good. That part, I think, can also really help us to feel like connected to the project, even when we're not able to do it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, there's my friend, that mosaic project. I'm going to get to you. I haven't forgotten about you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, this was such a great question. Thank you to JR for writing in to us. And anyone else who would like to write in, we totally would love to hear from you. So you can do that by contacting us on Instagram. We are at the Creativity Cafe 21 on Instagram. You can DM us there. Or you can write, what was it, Jordana, in the comment section? What was it?
if you want, in the review section
of
Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can write a review. You can write your question in the review box.
Yeah.
So you can drop a question down there. We check it regularly. So if you do drop a question, we will read it out in the podcast.
Yes. So please do. Let us know what you're thinking about. Let us know what questions you have, like what's preoccupying you, what's kind of standing in your way. Because I think, well, I know for all of us who are creative, the creative obstacles are normal. They happen to every single one of us, and they happen because we're growing when we create, and growth comes up against edges. That's just what it does. So
yes, it certainly does.
Yes. So write in and let us know what you think, what questions you have, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Thanks for joining us today on the Creativity Cafe.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and share it with your friends.
And follow us on Instagram at the Creativity Cafe 21 for special updates and sneak peeks behind the scenes.
Catch you again next time. Keep creating.